and welcome to episode 550 of the League Rundown. This is the 2025 LTA Finals and LEC Playoffs Round 2 review. And the episode is lovingly entitled, Fearless Best of Fives Are Cool, You'll Just Have to Trust Us. I'm Kangas, your host. I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts. Up first, we have Mr. Mazel PL.
Hello. I'm excited to be back. Excited to talk about all the craziness that's been going on.
Oh, yeah, and notably, one of the people on this call that has seen much more entertaining best of fives than we have had in the LTA. But we'll, you know, talk a little bit more about that later. First, we have to introduce our second co-host. It is Random Minion Caster. What's up, RMC?
Well, Random Mixed Feelings Casters right now with how the LTA playoffs ended up going, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's fun, actually. Now that you just did that, now I know what your bit for your name is going to be whenever I introduce you on the podcast. I'll just do something different with RMC.
Nice.
Although, I did try this with MDK when they were Mad Lion Koi, and I did not make it very far until it got off
the rails. To be fair, you did.
Okay. I got pretty far. You know, fair enough. But I think that the quality went down pretty fast.
Absolutely. Off a cliff.
It plummeted. I was like cheering when they wouldn't make playoffs because then I didn't have to keep the bit going anymore. But that's a different thing. That was last year's issue. This year, we have more issues. Speaking of, actually, that's a terrible way to segue. Let's talk about the fun stuff first. Mazel, what's going on at LPL?
So, we're in playoffs, but by the time you hear this, we'll probably be looking at finals. Just last night, AL booked their first grand finals ever as an organization, even back when they were Rogue Warriors, by beating JDG in a banger series. It did go 3-1, not all the way, or at least it went all the way, rather. It went 3-2. So we did get to hear Silver Scrapes. Hey. It was only the second time that we got to hear Silver Scrapes in the playoffs so far. But JDG, they have a tough go of it now because BLG and Top Esports are in the lower bracket right now, and BLG is looking like a monster. Like, they could absolutely just run a five straight best of fives run all the way to grand finals and be the representative. Ooh. So it's going to be tough. I hope that either Top Esports is able to show something, or if JDG is able to fix a lot of their mistakes. They had a lot of really bad moments last night. Nobody on that team is really stepping up, and there's a lot of people stepping down. And I think AL, I would be so proud and happy to send AL as the representative for LPL going into first stand, because the way they draft, the way they play, it's just so perfect, and it incorporates a lot of the styles that the LPL is known for. So it was a banger series. If you didn't get to watch it, go watch it. It was some Omega drafts from AL and all the way through all games in the full five game series, but we'll see if they can make it all the way, because BLG, like I said, was feeling really good.
Yeah, well, I've heard the boogeyman BLG, and I'm just sad that we didn't get Nip versus TT. I've just man, imagine the world.
But Mazel, you say it's only.
Do you have any thoughts on LPL?
Yeah, I was gonna say, you say that's the only second best of five, or full best of five, game five that we've had in the LPL playoffs.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the other one was also anyone's legend.
It was.
I'm seeing a trend here.
They're just delivering the bangers, man. Yeah. And reminder that full fearless best of fives is where you have. Was it 50 total champions banned going into that fifth game? Because you'll have the 40 champions that were played in the previous four games. First rotation of bans is 46. You get to pick a couple champions, but then you ban the next rotation of champions. So by that last pick phase, there's a lot of champions off the table. Yeah. Surprisingly, still a lot of champions on the table. I believe it's 120 are still available for draft at that point. But comps do get wacky. What was the wackiest comp that you've seen so far in Fearless Draft? Do any come to mind where you're like,
wacky,
what the hell is that?
I don't know. Bad, I think, has been the case a lot of the time.
Okay.
But, I mean, when we're getting, like, good comps are things that I love to see, like last night from AL, where, like, JDG drafted an entire comp of, like, divers with, like, mobility skills, and then literally Kyle for AL picks Poppy B5 and just is literally Exodia in the entire game and destroys everybody. Ooh. As a support. Like, that kind of stuff is awesome. We've gotten a little bit of flexibility, like in mid lane and stuff. We've been getting the rise a little bit more, stuff like that.
Mm. Well, I will say the craziest one that I've seen so far, not watching LPL or LCK, is we'll talk about it later, but LEC's only 4-game series that happened in their best of 5, but that game 4 already had a pretty wacky draft, so we'll get into that.
We did have a Shen jungle for the first time in like 4,200 and something days since like 2013.
Damn.
It got absolutely bodied, which is a little unfortunate, but we did have it.
Okay.
And then we had a Wukong jungle or Wukong top. That was like the first time in a long time.
You know, that's one of the things I love about Fearless is it will allow for fun stats like that. Bummer it didn't work out, but it is still cool.
In the interview, they're like, yeah, we know it was good, but AD gave a kill over early, so it was kind of GG. It's like, yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, that is LPL. And winter finals again? I forgot what
the date
was. On
the 1st of March.
First,
be there, be square.
Of
I'll be casting. March. I got the call up, so I'll be excited.
Let's go.
Nice. Let's go, dude. Congratulations. I know you've been putting in a lot of work there, so well deserved. Well deserved. Over in LCK land, we don't have Bickle or Badger or the usuals to run us through that. I can do it because I have the Leaguepedia page in front of me. But RMC, Mizell, were either of you paying attention to anything in LCK land?
No.
It's okay. You can be honest.
No, not really.
Yeah, no, it's all right. It's all right. So here, I'll just run you through the Leaguepedia because we did have our finals for the LCK Cup that happened, I think, right before LTA finals that night. Like LCP and
I have
LCK
a point.
Both qualified before us. Yeah, what's your point?
Zayas is really damn good. And that last game in the series, he like hard carried. It was great.
He's pretty good. He also had a pop-off mode on socials that I saw where he was like, best team in Korea. He was awesome. In English, too. But, yeah, Zeus on HLE won the entire thing. And they, every single one of HLE series went 5 games. That was crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. They had their series against T1 where they knocked T1 out right away. Yeah. Zeus knocked out his old teammates, 5-game series. Then they beat Gen G 3-2. Then they beat DK 3-2, and then they beat Gen G again 3-2. Like holy shit, man!
Suddenly,
HLE's run.
Anyone's legend doesn't look quite as impressive.
Yeah, they got some work cut out for them, but they will be the LCK representative at First Stand 2025.
I hate to be the kind of like negative Nancy, but. Mm-hmm. Any team that goes to represent either LPL or LCK at First Stand is going to have so much more practice and experience and just time spent in the game than any other region. I hope the energy for the broadcast is going to be special because I think it's important that that we see what happens, I guess.
Okay, let's run this through real quick. So in their group, HLE had 11 games. Then they had a best of 3 qualification match to the playoffs. That's they won 2-0, so 13 games. And then 20 games across their 4 BO5s. So that's 20 plus, what did I just say, 13? So 33 games played for
just
HLE.
Just in the last, like, what, month and a half
or whatever? 33 games in a month and a half.
Damn.
Not even. I think it's like about a month and a half, a little under a month and a half.
Yeah.
As opposed to spoilers, in case you weren't aware, we'll talk about LTA to start things off here. Team Liquid, they had I think maybe like
was it 23? They had something.
I'll have to look again. I'm not remembering immediately offhand because they did get knocked into the lower bracket and then have to play there. So they got a couple more. So they might actually be close to 20, but
no, they're at 14. Games played.
No.
Regular season, they played 7 games, and then in the playoffs, they played. Oh wait, no.
Like, if you look at BLG's run, if they're gonna make the run,
15 games.
Like that's 5 best of 5s that they have to win.
So BLG could get there too, then yeah.
And they
part of that is that,
but that's just in the playoffs. That doesn't count all the 3 best of 5s they played before in the regular season.
Yeah,
so their and all playoffs of alone
so
is already
like
more.
Fearless drafting, they're going to be much more comfortable with. What was that, RMC?
So their playoffs alone is more than the LTA teams played the entire split. Is that right?
Whoo! God, what a fun format. What a fun format. Speaking of, thoughts on the format. Next news bits are going to be a little bit of a bummer. Viewership news came out for the LTA finals, and it did not look good. We reached a peak for the grand finals of TL versus 100 Thieves. 73,848 concurrent viewers. That's according to, I think, Lolytics, I want to say, is the stats. I'm getting it from a tweet from Monte Cristo. So if you can go, want to check out his Twitter account, love him or hate him, he likes to give this type of information. Yeah, that was a 61% decrease split over split compared to last year. Team Liquid FlyQuest at 233,000 peak concurrent viewers.
The other sad
part is... That's rough, man.
The grand finals had lower viewership than week one.
Yeah, week one, literally, the highest viewed game was Team Liquid versus Isurus Estral. Actually, I don't know if that was the highest.
I think C9 versus Loud ended up beating it.
I thought so. Yeah, I'm just looking at whatever this tweet is, and it's ordering them in a weird way. I think it's just maybe cropped in a weird way. But, for example, Team Liquid versus Isurus Estral got 90,000 concurrent. Team Liquid 100 Thieves got 73, close to 74, but still, that's a significant drop-off. And a big part of that was because we did expect, with the South teams knocked out early, the Brazilian and just South American audience would not be watching along as much, which I know will affect... probably their native language streams more than ours, but I think a bigger factor was that the timing sucked. We knew that there was going to be a drop-off because the schedule was initially supposed to start at 1 p.m. Pacific time, and then they changed it to 11 a.m. Pacific time, 1 p.m. Local in Brazilian time, because they didn't want the Brazilian home crowd to be out crazy late. It could have been like a midnight end for them for all the games. But because of that, the trade-off then is... LEC started like an hour and a half or something before LTA finals did. So that viewership's going to be watching the LEC and not spill over to the LTA until later. And we ended weirdly like around the same time because of how our finals went. It was a very quick day.
It sucks because it feels like it disrupts, like, as a league fan, I'm speaking purely as a league fan. It is the best part of the season, especially as like a diehard league fan, when you can watch LCK into LPL, wake up to LEC, into LTA. Like, that is the day as a League of Legends fan, and it was completely disrupted. Like, playoffs is that time. That's the time, like, because LPL starts later, LCK starts a little earlier. Like, it literally lines up so perfectly, and it's been that way for so many years, and it feels so weird to have it disrupted.
Yep. It was awkward, to say the least. It's tough to know what the fix could have been because, again, we just talked about it. LEC started later than they typically would for their days this entire year. If anybody noticed, it was basically a year late for what their normal start times would have been. And LTA is trying to appeal to the Brazilian home crowd, so there's significant overlap there. And it was a rebrand. It's no longer LCS. It's now LTA. And a lot of people were just having difficulty finding the stream and like that information about the league anyway. That's just been an ambiguous thing this entire split so far. So there's a lot of factors to it. Overall, it is a bummer. And I would say general community sentiment around Riot Games is pretty low right now. Between the Hextech chests and removing like honor rewards and stuff like that, leads into our next story that there are over 13,000 signatures as of earlier today for a petition to oust the Riot CEO, which I think is kind of hilarious.
Actually insane.
Yeah, that many people took time out of their day to do that. I guess, shout out if any of our listeners found out about that and did themselves. I know a lot of people are just really upset with the direction Riot is taking a lot of their decisions this year. And it's tough because I don't know how much of that is residually felt by esports and our viewership, but I can imagine that if community sentiment for the game goes down, community sentiment for the pro play will also then kind of
fall. Yeah, I mean, this is all just a marketing scheme for the game,
basically.
Yeah,
this is
esports is not the profitable
historically
side.
Marketing arm of the game.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's time to rework Tryndamere and Ryze and get them back into meta.
true. All right, well, that's all the bummer news. Now let's get into at least one fun thing. I saw a report. I believe it said that the top four LTA North teams, which would be the four representatives at the Americas portion of the tournament, are all just going to boot camp in Korea, regardless of the fact that only one of them is going to represent us at first stand. I think that's pretty cool. I like seeing stuff like that because it shows that the teams are still committed to improving.
Yeah, and with the amount of like, there's Koreans in every single team, so every team gets somebody who gets to go home and get for a bit, I guess.
You know, I hadn't thought of it that way, but that is also a nice little positive right there. But speaking of LTA North, let's get into how the weekend went for them. A reminder that if we missed any of the big news stories, I feel like there's a big one that I couldn't remember and put in the doc. Let us know what we missed in the community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening along to the podcast. And also give us your thoughts on, did you sign the petition? Did you see the tweet about the viewership being down? What are your thoughts on all that? We would love to hear it. Also, shout out to anybody that supports us either through the Patreon or through the merch store. That's league-rundown-shop.fourthwall.com. You should find links in the description for those down below as well. But shout out to anybody that does support us. All right, let's get into the past weekend because we had a couple of series between LTA and LEC. Kicking it off with LTA to start, we had our semi-finals down in Brazil kicking off on Saturday, and that led into our first ever LTA finals on Sunday. A historic moment for this merger between two past regions that were not really rivals, but now one region with two conferences. Things started off with 100 Thieves versus FlyQuest. Mizell, I'm going to throw this one over to you to kick things off because everybody and their mama had FlyQuest. But what happened in this series?
Well, hey, I mean, I'm just going to say there was a little bit of spice, all right? I think the fact that we got to see that, I know I've talked about it so much, right? Over talking about 100 Thieves' mojo, whatever they have going for them. It was so evident in this. And yes, I'll give it that it went all three games. But we got to see some, I mean, probably one of the best series from Sniper of the tournament. And I think FlyQuest just didn't have answers when things broke down. And we've talked about it on the podcast before. Like, when the leaders of FlyQuest aren't in a prime position, it can look rough. And I think we saw a little bit of explanation of that there.
I 100% agree. I actually did predict on the broadcast that 100 Thieves would win this. Different than my predictions on the podcast from last week. I did have a 0% prediction rate because I got my semifinals wrong. So, of course, the finals would be wrong. But I actually changed my mind going into the day. And a big part of it was I just thought to myself, like, even if Bwipo gets a lead on Sniper, I actually think Quid and FBI are playing well enough that they can still carry regardless. And yes, I know it's versus Masu and Quad, also very, very good players. But there just was a feeling I had, like FBI, Quid, it was their weekend, it was their time to shine. But Sniper actually stepped up, and he performed very, very well. Game one aside, that one was a little more, you know, FlyQuest favored. They kind of smashed, but then game two, Sniper's able to just like solo kill Bwipo at one point. It was Sion versus Sniper's Gnar versus Bwipo Sion, and I was just like, holy shit, he's actually like able to do it. I thought he was gonna tilt and be a kind of a liability for the team going forward, but he was able to clutch it out, and then he also have a pretty good Jax game. So RMC, what are your thoughts overall on 100 Thieves and how are they able to dismantle FlyQuest in their three game series?
Yeah, I thought even in the first game where they lost, where Sniper struggled against Bwipo, I thought Sniper actually did fine in the 1v1. It was more inspired presence around the top side, which I think really messed him up and kind of made the match feel very unfavorable for him. So I think, yeah, Sniper definitely popped up. I think 100 Thieves as a whole really exceeded expectations in the semifinals and for most of the playoffs as well. I think they did really, really well. FBI was the one who I was kind of really impressed with how he played because I knew he was going to be brought in as like a more veteran presence, as somebody more stable for the team. But I think during the series, he kind of really stepped up for me, like going toe-to-toe with Masu like that, when Masu was like just incredibly talented and mechanically amazing, and FBI was just hanging in there and still having, I would argue that, yeah, I'd say probably the most impact for me on his team when they were winning. Yeah, I think FBI has been huge for 100 Thieves. And I find it very funny that 100 Thieves was just about to be 100 Leaves, and then now they actually like make it all the way to the finals. And I loved who was it on their management side, you know, was calling out Azale for saying that, you know, FlyQuest were the favorites when 100 Thieves were the higher seed coming in. But it's like, you know, it's still a surprise that y'all did as well as y'all did, considering everything 100%. Was coming before that.
I think was the president of 100 Thieves that was tweeting that. Very funny.
I think Masu, just a shout out to him, the guy was literally going Super Saiyan in this series, and it sucks to see him lose that, but I think it's still some really good looks from him and Quad.
The Quad Quid matchup.
They'll want back for sure, but I think as a whole, I still like to see them working, and I know this team is like a long-term project, right, so it's good to see them still perform in a loss like that.
Yeah, and then game three, I think we started to see, I guess it wasn't a 5-game series for Full Fearless, but even in a 3-game series, the champion pools get pinched, and like their draft, I was not in love with it. I really did like 100 Thieves' draft more. Mm-hmm. Likewise, they went back to the Garen for Bwipo, and he just wasn't as like gigantic, giga-fed, tanky Garen as he was last time we saw him play it versus Dignitas, where he got the better of Surti. This time around, Sniper was able to kind of stem the bleeding much more and just kind of keep the Garen even. And then, Garen even is not nearly as big of a threat on these big flanking plays. So, that was 100 Thieves versus FlyQuest. How big of an upset would you say this was, Mazel? Because this is most people are saying FlyQuest 2-0, maybe a 2-1 in there, but almost unanimously was FlyQuest favored.
Man, I don't know. So it is absolutely an upset. I think in terms of expectations and like I said, you can't count like momentum and mojo, like I'm saying, for 100 Thieves as like hard facts that this team is going to win. If they don't show up on a certain day, then it's going to look bad.
Yeah.
But they, I mean, you take upsets. I know there's all the drama and stuff online, but I mean, it was an upset.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, like I wouldn't call this like a heist of the century, but it was like at least a roll on the floor kind of upset.
Yeah, yeah. I think the heist could have been if they had won the whole thing. Spoilers for where the discussion is about to go, because they win this series and then face off against the winner of the next series, Cloud9 versus Team Liquid. RMC, let's have you start off with this one, because this one also went the full 3-game distance.
Yeah, and I know Umpty gets a lot of hate for the way he plays. I felt like this was the start of his redemption arc, and it took him like almost the entire split to get here. I thought like this series, you know, he was pretty solid. It still was kind of shaky from Team Liquid, though. I don't feel like they are completely fixed yet. And Yon's back needs, that man needs to go see a chiropractor after this entire playoff. This was another series where I felt like he really had to carry, and it felt like a lot of the match was Yon versus Loki, because Loki was stunning for C9, and he tried so damn hard to make C9 win, but it just felt like C9 wasn't quite clicking together as a whole.
Yeah, something felt different about C9 on this day, which, I don't know, it really confused me. Specifically game 3, their draft with Aatrox, Ahri, Wukong, Ziggs, and Poppy. Like, what's the identity of this comp? They're like a little bit of engage, a little bit of peel, a little bit of range, turret taking, but like not a lot of rotational power. Maybe the Ahri, you could argue, can rotate to the Ziggs, like if it's trying to take turrets, but like, I just don't know what its win condition is.
Well, I think the idea was to like try and generate picks and poke with the Ziggs and keep range, and then just be able to rotate faster and take turrets, and then catch people in rotation with the Ahri, Ziggs, Wukong, because Ziggs can chip in even if he's not physically there. But it's such a hard win condition compared to like the Team Liquid, like Sion, Lilia, Rell, where we're just going to run at you, and if we catch you, you die.
Well, also, they can still kind of answer you for poke with the the Ezreal and with the Quay. So. And again, Thanatos and the Aatrox, I don't know how much practice he put into it. I haven't seen this pick in quite a while. Mazel, has this been played in LPL at all? Has Aatrox gotten pulled out with Fearless?
I think we had one game, maybe two.
Okay.
I think Flandre pulled it out in one of their series.
I was not impressed with Thanatos' Aatrox, yep. to say the least. Like, when it was locked in, I remember the other analysts being like, ooh, yeah. it's like a classic Scion counter. Like, this kind of hard counters it. If Thanatos can get a lead, this could be scary. But if he doesn't get a lead, he's kind of useless against this comp.
Yeah, it was the R5 pick. It was the last pick. And I remember seeing yeah. it and thinking, like, this Aatrox doesn't fit everything else, though. Like, yeah. sure, it works against Scion. But, like, I can justify the Wukong and the Ahri and the Ziggs. I can't really see how the Aatrox necessarily fits in, though.
It was confusing, and I think that was one of the biggest like contributing factors to the loss, alongside Umpty really stepping up in this series. He had two moments in the entire three games that I was like, what the hell are you doing, Umpty? One was in game two when he like Vi Vault Breakers over the wall by Otacon, and then like just completely throws the lead that they had. Like, they had a good setup, and then he just goes crazy.
We need to get the other time was Umpty off Vi.
Yeah, yeah. Really then the one. Other time in game three, Umpty on the Lilia just gets like picked off at one random moment. Like to your point, they did have Ahri, they did have like Poppy and Ziggs and stuff that can like punish you for being out of position. Mm-hmm. And there was one moment that happened. Otherwise, Umpty actually thought played this pretty clean, despite having the most deaths on the team. still playing frontline in game one on Skarner, and you know Lilia's a melee kind of squishy champion. So, yeah. But was this also an upset? How much of an upset do we think this one was, Mizzou? I'm going to ask you the same question. Because I think more people actually had a Cloud9 winning this than even like FlyQuest taking 100 Thieves.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. But I still think people hold Team Liquid to a high regard for what the team offers and what they've done in the recent history. So I don't know if I would say it's as much of an upset. Especially comparatively to the other series, I would not say.
Yeah,
fair enough.
But I still think there were some interesting points as well to see, especially like Loki still have a pretty good series.
Yep.
I think was really promising for C9, even though the Ahri game, I think, didn't work out necessarily in his favor. But Yawn, man. Yawn.
Yeah.
Yawn, Yawn, Yawn. My goat. The dude, he saw Masu's like awards and performances. Dude, he just lit it all on fire, man.
Yep. Also, I think Yawn is clearly the breakout performer on Team Liquid from this entire tournament. We'll talk more about him as we get into the next series. But I also want to give a shout out to APA, who I think has had a quietly solid split. He had a couple of rough games. That one Azir game really sticks in a lot of people's minds of him just having like a troll Azir game. He's done that in the past, but like, whew, his Talia, his Huey, like he's actually playing pretty well. He's whenever he gets Ziggs, that's a nightmare for the opponent. Still, I think like APA on his right picks is still really, really solid right now. So
yeah, and speaking of the Ziggs as well, he got it denied by Sven in game three, and Sven didn't look that practiced on it. So I actually wonder if that was straight up trying to deny it away from APA rather than as a potential counter to the Ezreal that Yawn picked up.
Well, I'm happy you bring that up. Because that Ziggs pick becomes the topic of conversation directly in the next series. If you leave it up for game three, that means your opponent can pick it. You got to pick it away from them if you get to ban it. Well, what if you just give it to them? Game one of a best of five Fearless draft. That was 100 Thieves' strategy going into this best of five. Not the two teams that a lot of people expected, but it was 100 Thieves versus Team Liquid. And in a Fearless system, you can give over broken champions and then not have to worry about them for the rest of the draft, or not even broken champions, just champions that you know your opponent's really good with. And oh my god, 100 Thieves gave Team Liquid Exodia for game one. Umpty's Maokai, APA's Ziggs, Yawn's Ezreal. That's like three of their best chances. And Impact's Kassante as well. Like, holy shit, man. That game looked exactly how you would expect, seeing Team Liquid getting like four of their most comfort picks. They smashed 100 Thieves.
I mean, I almost feel like if nameplate's off and you look at the drafts that came through, right? Like, 100 Thieves got Gnar, Skarner, Azir, Corki, Leona. Like, that's a really good blind draft.
Yeah.
And then you look at the other side, it's like Kassante, Maokai, Ziggs, Ezreal, Poppy. It's like, that's like an A-tier draft. It's good, but it's not necessarily like the most meta, strongest meta draft. And I almost feel like 100 Thieves draft is more meta than Team Liquid's. But then you turn the nameplates on and you're just like, oh, yep, that's Exodia for Liquid at that point.
I think it's funny how Jan's Ezreal is becoming... I think it's his Ezreal and his Kai'Sa. Those are the ones that everyone's realizing, oh my god, if you give Jan these champions, he will just carry games. And AP on his Ziggs, it's just like his most comfortable champ that he's got in the game. So that one was clearly a comfort win, a draft win, an execution win for Team Liquid. They, outside of like one kind of hiccup that they had, I forget who got picked. I think it might have been Core JJ who got picked randomly at one point, kind of mid-game. They had a very clean game on their path to victory there. And I was like, okay, shake it off, 100 Thieves. I honestly think that might have been strategic to give them all their best champions for game one. Now they can't pick them for the rest of the series, and you don't have to ban them. This opens up options for draft. And it didn't look that much better in game two. They got a little bit of a lead very early on, getting first blood, but they were not able to get over the hump that was Team Liquid's team fight, which surprisingly really stepped up in this finals and in this tournament overall. So
I think the biggest problem with that logic, though, is that like that you shouldn't have that logic in this state of the game, because you're realistically not going to be able to get rid of everything that's available, because there's just a lot of options, especially when you're performing at a high level. So like, I don't know, I think it's difficult. But I think giving over picks, I don't think like maybe they were looking for that or whatever, but it would be tough if they were, because then, I mean, that just means they're going to get mauled when they go to first stand.
True. And Liquid as well is not the team you want to do it to, because they have such eclectic pools, right? Like Impact pulled out the GP against Cloud9. Oh yeah, it was on Saturday. He pulled it out and they had to ban it on Sunday. And then you've got APA champ pool, where he's been criticized in the past before for not being able to play meta champions, but now he can, right? He plays things like the Aurora, like the Hui, and then you still got to ban out like his Ziggs. And then he played both his other pocket champions, Nico and Aesol, in the final series as well. So yeah, and then Yon has a pretty flexible pool. Umti, if you're going to ban him, you got to ban out the utility junglers, but then you can't do that because you need to ban out APA. Like, Liquid's the worst team to try and play games in terms of like draft and banning in full fearless mode. Like, even though FlyQuest is like inspired Nunu and stuff like that, not all their players are known to have that many weird pocket picks. It's mostly just Bwipo inspired, whereas like Liquid has almost everybody with massive champion notions.
And 200 Thieves credit, even though they were, I think it was arguably strategic. You can argue that it was not a good strategy, but it did feel intentional.
Sure.
Their drafts for the rest of the series were still serviceable. I was happy with what they were trying to do, and they were performing well enough against Team Liquid, but man, Team Liquid, they got that clutch factor. You know, they reach a certain point in the game, a certain fight, and they are a team that still seems like they're able to end games quickly. A lot of teams in the LTA, if they get a big gold lead or they find that big team fight moment, they don't necessarily transition that into a win within 5 minutes. It can still take another 10, 15 to actually get the game win. It feels like this version of Team Liquid's back to the version where as soon as they get that one big win, they will end the game in the next 5 minutes because they'll know how to set up their lanes and set up their waves and then get the right resets off.
And guess what? I think a lot of it's on Umpty. Umpty's not trolling. And look at what champions he decided to play during playoffs. Maokai, Sejuani, you know, Xin Zhao, Skarner, champions that are nice, beefy, tanky, utility-style champions that he excels at. He's not playing... Well, he did play the Fi, and look how that ended. But, I mean, he's not, like, whipping out, like, the random Volibear, or he's not trying to play, like, the AP Zyras. You know, he has to be the carry for the team. I think Umpty has a certain play style, and if you want to win, play to that style. He gets so much better on it.
Yeah, I think so. Umpty is still the question mark going into first stand, regardless of how well he was going to look in this finals. I think he looked good. He looked much better than he had in the past. I still didn't think he was like the reason they were winning. The reason they were winning is Jan just popping the fuck
That's
off.
Fair. But he was the reason why they weren't losing anymore in the regular season.
Yes. But I think that still warrants question marks going into first stand. I think a lot of eyes will still be on Umpty approaching that tournament saying, okay, I think limited champ pool is a valid criticism to say that, you know, he only really does find success on certain things right now. And if those get banned away from him in a series or picked away from him in a fearless series, will he be able to still have a deep enough champ pool? I liked the Lily. I think that was a really good addition to what he's been finding success on. I'm happy that he pulled that out. So, yeah, there we have it. Team Liquid. They won the first ever LTA split. APA has won, or he's made finals three in a row. And this is now his second title that he's picked up. So that's pretty cool.
That's actually so cool.
Yeah, dude, this team, man, they're like establishing a bit of a dynasty here, Mizell. Yeah. Like, this roster stuck together for a while, and they're finding a lot of success.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to the conversation of, like, good structure from the team. I mean, Spawn has created a really awesome structure at Team Liquid, but the fact that they stuck with these players and they're getting benefits from it and that they're finding successes is so cool. I mean, you even saw, like, on Twitter, Steve was talking about Spawn and saying, you know, you promised me things and you're delivering on them. And that's just kind of a cool realization that Spawn just, like, believed in this team. And I know he said it was a special one for him, so that's awesome.
Yeah. Also, shout out Spawn. We didn't mention that earlier, but he did fly to Brazil from Australia. He'd been remote coaching the whole year. Swiffer, the assistant coach, had been doing everything on stage and in person with the players, so that Spawn could spend more time with his wife and his kids. But then he did fly out to Brazil for the finals weekend, and yeah, they looked much better with Spawn. There's a really funny interview that we got on Saturday with him where he was like, yeah, typically the I'm like, in a kind of a good way, I'm the negative person in the room. I think that's, like, part of what I bring, is that I'm the one that, like, gets people to talk critically about what's going on. And so when I'm not there, everybody turns into the negative person in the room, and there's not really this unified bad guy for people to, like, unite against. So it might not have been him that said it, it might have been one of the players, but it was a funny bit regardless of, like, yeah, like, when the players don't have a mean coach to unify against and
you know what,
their anger out on.
That's on theme. Like, the theme for this year is Noxus, and Spawn is the Noxus of Team Liquid. He drives the story by being the villain.
You need to have a unified
bad guy. Somebody for us to fight against. But also fight with the team, because of course he wants them to win. So shout out to Spawn, shout out to Team Liquid. And that's it. First split of LTA in the books. We will be shipping Team Liquid off to Korea to go represent us for First Stand. Shout out to all the South teams for participating as well. We will see a South team represented for MSI, because both of our conferences only get one team to go. And then for Worlds, we will have more cross-regional play with them for that third spot to Worlds, because each of us gets one team to go, and then we fight for that third spot.
Too positive, Kangas. Too positive. Brazil doesn't care about a participation trophy. We sucked, South America. Buckle up. Do good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you so bad at League?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you guys owe Kangas a mustache. The man put his mustache on the line for you. You killed Braum.
Jose Diotto. Well, what the hell was that, man? Okay, but that's the real question. How good was Isserus Estrel? They took a game off of the team that won. Were they the second best team? We'll never know.
I actually posted that in the LTA lucky. South community Discord. I was like, oh, guys, we had the second best team. They just had a bad show.
Right? Dude, how funny is that? Because that one, Team Liquid was the team I was like, oh, this is what I have the least confidence in going into this tournament. And then
and there they are.
Here they are.
The champions.
Here they are. And here we are, as the three of us will now move away from North America.
Bye-bye, North America.
Bye, North America.
Bye, North America in South America. Let's go.
And hi, North America in Europe.
Yeah, because we do have LEC happening over there. We were in our second round of playoffs and had a couple of best of threes and one best of five match that happened. We found ourselves in the lower bracket, and this will lead into next weekend where we have our finals. So LTA is all wrapped. We have no more predictions or anything to look at there, but we do have predictions to look at for LEC. I'm going to give more spark notes for the first two rounds. Mizell, RMC, I already set the two of you up with a little bit of information for them. What was the one thing I said in general about the first two series? Mizell, you start. What happened with Team Heretics GX? Cluster
words that we should say. Fuck.
There we go. RMC. What was BDS Vitality?
Um,
Cluster.
It was crap. Fuck, I'm not gonna say it.
Perfect. There you go. You got it. Good job.
The first two series, I mean, there's some entertaining League of Legends moments that happen in those series. Don't get me wrong. So if you like to, like I do, watch League for the sake of crazy shit happening, check out BDS Vitality Game 3. But in general, the quality of those series were basically what you'd expect from LEC. What we've known from them is that it is all about the top four teams, and now it's looking even more like just the top one team. It's kind of turning back into that where G2's got clean games, everybody else is struggling, which gets us into the next series that I want to talk about. Fnatic BDS, man. This was the team. Fnatic, I'm just going to take a moment. I'm going to talk a lot during this segment because I got a soapbox. I got to air out some grievances with Fnatic. So let's just run through the series. Game one, BDS 113 has a really good timer early lane or early bot lane for first blood. Sweet. Then they kind of throw back-to-back fights at Grub. Not sweet. I'm like, okay, BDS, what you doing? But 113 in general still has a really good starter game and a couple of really sick ults. He has this really cool play with a Herald where he like jumps in with the Herald on the tier 2 bot turret, and as he's bouncing out, he channels his ult and catches Fnatic by surprise and then like catches them and then ults them away. I had never seen anybody do that with Skarner like bouncing out of the Herald. I thought it was really cool. But it just doesn't work because the Nuke tries to TP flank and then they fight 4v5 and Nuke doesn't get there in time and then they all just die and then Fnatic wins the game. And I was like, okay, BDS, they're actually were kind of in the driver's seat for a lot of that game. They should have won. That was weird. I was expecting Fnatic to just smash them, but BDS actually showed up, even though Fnatic clutched it at the end. Game two, BDS just out-execute pretty much every team fight and then punish Humanoid and Mickey this time for being out of position. And 113 again has a really good time, this time on Nidalee. Fun to see Nidalee pulling out here in LEC. But then I was like, oh shit, it's 1-1 of the series. Fnatic are struggling, man. Like, why aren't they winning team fights? Why are they getting caught out of positions? Why are they, you know, not realizing that you can Skarner ult out of Herald? Then game three happens. And it starts off good for Fnatic. Rezork is on Pantheon. It's got an early gank to get first blood in mid lane. But BDS, they have a scaling composition. They pull out the Jinx, and I haven't seen Jinx in quite a while. Maybe this kind of shows why. Try to fight a lot early, but then get picked in sides because the Pantheon Leona are just kind of goon squatting together. But then Fnatic, in the classic Fnatic fashion, throw another Otacon, and then BDS, they get the Otacon, they rush in to try and end the game, and they fucking dive a Pantheon.
They weren't trying to end the game. They were trolling. Like, they wanted the kill.
Dude, it really did look like it, but like... BDS should have won that game in that instance if they just walk the wave up and just hit the turrets. It's a two-champ defense, and they instead throw everything at Pantheon, who just presses E and doesn't take any damage. And then they die. Two of them die to the Nexus turrets, and they have to walk away. Regardless of that botched dive, they still, on the reset, get the Baron. And then they just can't end with it. They start to try and push bot side, and then Pantheon like ults onto them from like kind of behind, gets on the back line. I don't know where the hell Perus is going. He's just like in Narnia, and then they lose the fight, and then Fnatic wins. It's like, dude, Fnatic, what the hell, guys? Like, you barely scratched that one out. Really felt like they were going to lose that series in all three games. This could have been a BDS 2-0 if they had clutched up that first game a little more, and then also game three. But... That Jinx okay, I just had to get that though, out there because I've been rooting for Jinx Fnatic a lot. Good.
I agree. I think she is. But I mean, just look at the series scores, right? Scores. Right. I think that tells you a story, right? Fnatic, the two games they won, they're both post 40 minutes. The game one was 44-48. And the kill score is 23-22. They have one more kill. Game three they win. The time is 45-04. And the kill score is 25-25. And then you look at the one game BDS won. 30 minutes and 30 seconds, 15-4.
Yeah, it was a shutout.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Like, it's obvious that Fnatic is, they're not doing well fundamentally. They are just clutching it out.
Yeah. And yeah, it's great that they can clutch up, but that's not going to win you an LEC split, that's not going to get you to go to first stand, because we saw them just get dismantled by G2 a week prior. So I just had to get all that out because I've been a big believer in Fnatic. I thought that they were going to do really well this split, and it's just, man, it's tough to see them still struggle. So I guess old habits die hard for old Fnatic fans. Koi versus GX also happened. GX did not put up much of a fight. Koi basically ran over them. Yeah, RMC, do you have the stats for that one up? I know, I remember offhand that they were relatively fast games. I think they were both around 30, if not under 30 minutes, and just kind of smashes both of them.
Yeah, so the game one was 35-41, and game two was under 30. It was 28-32. Yeah.
But yeah, those were also like almost blowouts. Like I remember GX getting like one dragon in game one, and I don't think they get like a neutral objective the rest of the series.
Second game was brutal. The second game, I think they got one turret, and that was it. Like they didn't get any dragons, heralds, or I don't even think they got grubs that game.
Ugh. That's rough. And it was a lot off the back of Supra and Alvaro really stepping up in the bot lane. I've been impressed with them. They're sneakily jumping into like the top three, if not, you know, pushing for second or first best bot lane in Europe right now. Not what I expected to see, but Supra Alvaro, shout outs to you. I think it's mostly Supra, but it's tough to know. Then El Yoya also having a really, really good series here. His Vi as well as his Nidalee. 9-0-6 on Nidalee was his stat line there. He was just all up in Lot's business, Jackie's business, everyone's business. So that leads us into the one best of five that we had over the weekend in the LEC. And this one was actually pretty entertaining for the first two games. Then it gets boring for the second half because G2 really just come online and show us the two different versions of G2. One, they can shut you out. The other one, they can play an excruciatingly slow game of League of Legends and then just wait for you to make the mistake and then pounce on you.
One might call it glacial with their picks in game four. Yeah.
Game four, I don't think we had like two kills in before the Otacon spawned, and then Otacon spawns, and then all hell breaks.
That's crazy.
In classic G2 fashion. G2 games, literally, you could just like take any G2 game on average and just go to 20 minutes and just look at what's happening at Otacon. They need to make a montage of like every Otacon fight that G2 has. Like, win or lose, they're always chaotic. Hansama and Labrov really stepped up in this series. Specifically game one, Blitzcrank for Labrov was crazy. Kalist got smashed. He had a really bad game, which was surprising because Kalist is, I think, one of the best performers on KC and one of the people that we have had our eyes on for a while, and we're very happy to see him stepping up in his first split, but not in his first game of the best of five versus G2. Hansama just daddied him all over the rift. Yeah. But then Ferris game two, too. He did bounce back. Game two, he bounced back. Kalist has a really good Zeri game, wins team fight after team fight after team fight, and they win relatively fast off of clean dragon team fights, and then one Baron. That's all it took for the old KC to get across the finish line. And then that's where the wheels start to fall off a little bit. Game three, this one, Kalist is on Yasuo. If you check out the rest of the comp, it's in a vacuum, it's kind of fun. It's like Ornn, Diana, Jace, Yasuo, Senna. So you have two things to set up the Yasuo and then like long range to follow it up as well. But man, Kalist just doesn't play a lot of Yasuo, I don't think. This did not look it. And again, Hansama Labrov just kind of crushed him. And this one was a slow bleed-ish, but it was like a consistent bleed. Still took 35 minutes for G2 to win, but or around there. And then game four is where it got fun. This is where I actually think, even though it was a really slow game, nothing happened, this is the fun of Fearless Draft. And that's what I will say, best of five drafts. I'm very excited to see a first stand. I want to go back and check out some LCK LPL ones because I missed all of those. But seeing Broken Blade on Cho'Gath, seeing Caps on Anivia, and like Kalist Targimus playing Draven Seraphine, I was like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I know Draven, I haven't seen like the Seraphine much. But yeah, this one, like I said, really slow game until G2 gets Otacon, gets Baron. Actually, I don't even think they get the Baron. I think they just win off of like a team fight around the dragon and then close it out. But yeah, this one was
And I think the Anivia was like the first Anivia that has been played in the LEC. Like, they haven't seen it since the old EU LCS days.
Really?
I remember, like, yeah, seeing that on Twitter. I don't know how accurate that is. And, you know, somebody who knows the LEC better can confirm it. But apparently, yeah, like, LEC just doesn't play. Nobody plays Anivia, right? And Froggen was already gone by then, so.
Wow. Well, that would be 2019, I think, was when LEC became a thing officially. I think that's right. So that would be 5 years, four years, just over four.
Yeah, makes sense. I mean, she's not been meta, like, ever, pretty much, so.
And like you said, Froggen was the big guy that played her. Interesting. I guess Jensen also played a little Anivia in NA, but that won't apply over there, so.
Yeah.
Interesting to see. But I think it was cool regardless. Caps did look pretty good on it, but Broken Blade, shout out, gets a quadra kill randomly, and then they win the game.
Nice.
On Cho'Gath. Quadra kill on Cho'Gath. Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed? Not me. But it shows that G2 is still top dogs over in Europe. The LEC really does have one king. And now it's going to be a battle of the remaining teams to see who can challenge G2. Four other teams remain in the lower bracket. And let's get into predictions here. Because I think that which team gets to challenge G2 does slightly change how like their chances look. I actually, this might be a hot take, but I'll give my predictions first and then I'll explain how predictions could change if one other series is different. But to start off, it's Fnatic versus Koi. And it's me and Mazel with Koi taking the series. Mazel's 3-2, I'm 3-1. Of course, always rooting for our boy JoJo. I see you.
Damn right.
I see you. And then RMC as Fnatic, 3-1. RMC, I just want to ask what your thought process is for Fnatic win there.
Okay, so Kangas, you got in your soapbox, except for me again on my porcelain bowl. Because here's the problem. I actually don't think Fnatic's performing well. I think they did horrifically this week. They looked way worse than they did in the regular season. I think Koi's looking really, really good. So my prediction actually has nothing to do with Fnatic or Koi. This is based on G2 and the freaking LEC, because in the LEC, it's always about kings and dynasties. And the fact that G2 is now sitting at the top once again, despite everything we saw in the regular season, fills me with dread that we're just going to see Fnatic G2 again. Is Fnatic good? No. But Fnatic's going to get the legacy buff that always seems to come through in Europe. And somehow or other, they're going to nonsense clutch this. I'm not even, and I predicted a 3-1. I'm not even predicting a 3-2, because 3-2 would be too neat. 3-2 would make it look like Koi had a chance. But no. This is Europe. So Fnatic has to get there in a fashion that looks good, only to crap the bit against G2 again.
You know, I hate how much that makes sense, but it does happen a surprising amount of times over in EU. So really going for the narrative buff, I respect it. After watching Fnatic, though, I still just think that Koi is playing a much cleaner game right now. But you never know. I mean, we did just see Team Liquid dash expectations as well in their finals weekend and win back-to-back series that they were not necessarily expected to win. So it could still happen for Fnatic. Either way, the winner of that series, whether you're taking Fnatic or whether you're taking Koi, is going to face off against KC. Now, this is where things get interesting. I have KC taking this 3-2. Mazel has Koi taking it 3-1. RMC, rooting against the French, might I add. RMC has Fnatic 3-2. RMC, you already explained your narrative and repeat. Buff. Yeah, rinse and repeat. Mazel, you're voting JoJo over the French.
Wow. Yeah, I am. Honestly, no. But I think in actuality, I mean, this team is really starting to come into their own. I think they do have a serious chance. I think it's a slim chance, but I think they have a serious chance.
Okay, all right. Well, I still have KC. I think it's going to be a close series. This one could go either way. It's close to a coin flip for me. But I kind of want Kalist to make finals, so that's what made me pick KC. And just hoping that he does have a chance to go for a title in his first split. I think that'd be really, really cool for a rookie. Either way, we get to the finals, and we have 2-3-0 across the board. We all have a different team challenging them, by the way. All three of us think it could be somebody different, but all of us agree 3-0
damn right.
G2.
It's G2's league, and there's the others no just play in it.
Dude, they're going to have a happy game. I'm going to... I'm changing to 3-1. It's still G2, but they're going to have a happy game. We saw a happy game against KC in the upper bracket. I don't think there's a... G2 struggle to have clean series. Okay,
I'll give it
to G2 0.5.
Yeah, so I don't think they'll actually lose the game, but I think they'll come pretty close. Because I agree with you, Ken. Because I think that they'll have like a fun, happy game where they're going to kind of mess up a little bit. But I don't... I think Fnatic is going to have an even more fun and happy game, shall we say, in that particular game.
You know, I agree with your prediction. If it's Fnatic, yep, it's a
if it's Fnatic.
3.0.5. Mazel, this is what the interesting thing. I have KC winning in the lower bracket finals and then getting 3-1 by G2 in the finals. I think if Koi wins that series, they actually have a better shot against G2 than KC does. I think they're a little more, you know, on the same page of how they want to play the game, and their team fighting, while chaotic, if JoJo isn't inting in the side lane and he actually groups up with the team, they actually look pretty good. So I think that Koi has a better shot at taking on G2 than KC, even though I have KC winning that series. Again, close to a coin flip. Just wanted to give a nod to Koi there. But that's it. That's our thoughts, everybody. RMC, the more you add to your prediction, the more confusing it gets. You added like apostrophes.
Yeah, I added quotation marks to just make it clearer, that the point five thing. Okay, I'll get rid of them. I liked it.
No, you can put them back because I think it's funny, but I just wanted to point out that it makes it look crazier.
For clarity, ironically, it backfired.
He put it back. All right. But that's it for LEC. And that's also going to be it for another week of the League Rundown. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Let us know again what your thoughts are on the LTA finals, as well as what's happening with LEC this coming weekend through the link in the description, wherever you are watching. You can find our Discord. You can find our Patreon. You can find our merch shop. However you want to support and engage with the community, we're happy to have you. Something that really does help us out, Mazel, help me out with my counting. LTA on broadcast, they like to point out that I struggle counting past 3. What are the numbers past 3 again?
Well, so there's 5 major regions, you see. And I think you go 1... 2, 3, 4, and 5.
So you lost me. You lost me right there.
Well, you just stick with that number 5. You know it very well.
Okay. All right. Stick with 5, which comes sometime after 3. But if you can leave that many stars wherever you're listening along, it really does help us out get noticed. Thank you guys for coming on for another week's episode. It was awesome having you. Love talking League of Legends with the buds. As RMC said in the pre-show, it's the reason to be alive, right?
Yeah.
42.
Podcasting with the buds.
League of Legos.
Speaking of being alive, everybody listening, we happy that you are. And most importantly, we love you. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.